It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Place to go. 720 WGN, Steve Cochran Show, on this beautiful first day of December. How about that, huh? We went through a whole...
What?
It's not December.
Yeah.
Oh, man!
Come on, just wait one more day.
Oh, yeah. So excited for today, and then I realize there's still one more day?
Yeah. You know, Mary would have already said rabbit.
Yeah, you gotta do the rabbit thing.
This is a real letdown.
What is the rabbit thing? Yeah, rabbit. I don't know. On the first, we always said
thing.
It was a Wally Phillips thing.
Yeah. We just start the whole show over.
And then you took it over, Mayor?
I don't know. No, Spike took it over. Because okay. Spike still texts me. You know, he'll send me, rabbit. I'm like, oh. He always gets me first.
Are you saying rabbit like a rabbit bat?
No, rabbit.
Rabbit. Okay.
No, rabbit.
Yeah.
Rabbit.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a rabid rabbit.
Well, I'm familiar with that. And, you know, I'm so attached to the legacy and the history of this radio station, I almost feel like I was trying to will it to be December 1st.
Will the rabbit?
Yeah. Like, I was like, let's just... Or do we do the old thing where, because it's a Saturday... We're not on Saturday, December 1st. Today is de facto honorary December 1st.
No, I'm not
doesn't
ready
work
for
that
December.
Way.
Rabbit observe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thanks, Steve.
I want to sing Will the Wabbit.
Well, okay. Well, this is not as exciting. I was very excited for December 1st, and it's November, what, 30?
30th. Mm-hmm.
Yes. No one cares about November 30.
I do.
It's your birthday,
It's my half birthday.
Happy birthday, Dave.
I was looking for some motivation. I think we just found it, right?
You actually know your half birthday? I mean, I'd have to think about it.
Half birthdays are a thing now, Mayor. Like, our kids celebrate their half birthdays.
Come on.
And if they're not acknowledged, well, not like with cake and stuff, but you have to acknowledge the halfway point.
Oh, brother.
So I'm now, I guess that makes you halfway, too.
Yeah,
that's depressing. Why do you want to? Yeah, you don't want to will the half birthday thing going on when you get up there.
Well, it's Steve Cochran Show. Steve's out this week because this weekend. He'll be back
today.
On Monday.
He's out today.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I got it.
I think he said he was taking the day off because he's going to get a jump start on all of our Christmas presents.
Oh, yes.
He didn't ask me what I wanted.
Oh, I don't know then. Oh. I don't know if you're getting anything, but he asked all of us.
What?
No, he didn't. And I don't really know if he's shopping.
Yeah.
And I like to think that that's why.
I hope he's sleeping.
He's pretty good with the shopping.
He's really good. He's a really good gift giver.
Yes, he is.
I'm excited about this. Okay. All right. So, yes, Steve is out today. He's back on Monday. We got a huge show today. The Vernon Hills High School Choir will be here. Very excited to have them. We also are going to be talking about the big Northwestern Big Ten Championship game tomorrow. That's tomorrow. We know that's tomorrow, right?
Yes. That is. It's December 1st.
December 1st, right. And, of course, the Bears. Hamp's going to be on. So, there's lots to do. So, let's get to it. Let's start with the top 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Time for the top 6 at 6 on this December 1st observed. The president's in Argentina for the G20 conference. All eyes on how awkward it is when he's in the room with Russian President Vladimir Putin. But this conference has much more to do with the way we do business around the world. We should be signing the new NAFTA agreement with Mexico and Canada. And we are also meeting with Chinese leaders about that trade deal. And in every other sentence, you're going to hear the president tell us that he used to be a developer, which was very legal and very cool. That's what he tweeted out. It's very legal to be a developer. Very cool. I'm a little skeptical when a developer tells me himself that he's very cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. It's a loft space. Very cool. Who says that? Very cool.
Who says a lot of what he says?
I guess, but it's going to be an interesting conference. And obviously, I think what you're going to hear now is a lot of, which I find completely ridiculous, but the Michael Cohen story yesterday that he is he's cooperating with the Mueller investigation. You saw Rudy Giuliani, you saw the president, you saw others come out and really question the character of Michael Cohen. He's a liar. He's always been a liar. As if lying is a bad character trait. That's what I head scratch saying. So you guys, the irony is delicious that you guys have made stock and trade out of distorting the truth. Yet when you need to point out that someone's distorting the truth, it's a bad character trait.
Right.
That's fair.
In their eyes, he's a documented liar. Yeah.
That he's a liar. Me? No. Alderman Ed Burke's offices at City Hall and his 14th Ward office were searched by the feds yesterday. They came in, they put brown paper up on the windows and removed paperwork and computers, which begs the question, Ed Burke used computers? I didn't know he used computers. I thought he was old school in that way. There's one computer they took out.
Ed Burke is one of those people that's just always been, you know, so I had to click on the article on the Tribune that says, who is Ed Burke anyway? And my favorite line from it says that he's the number two spot in city government. He's the number two. Reminds me of The Office where, you know, Dwight Schrute is
assistant to the assistant,
like number two. Like.
And my favorite quote of the whole thing is Ed Burke saying, you know what? This has happened to me 5 times before and they couldn't get me then. They're not going to get me now. You're like, okay, I guess that's positive.
Well, he didn't say get me. He said they didn't find anything.
Yeah, well, I'm paraphrasing on the get me. But I want to make this very clear. It's not normal in government for the FBI to come in and put paper over the windows to do an investigation about your dealings.
The what I was wondering is, does the agent go to the supply store for the paper, or is that something that comes equipped in all the FBI vehicles?
You don't understand how the U.S. government works. There's a agency called the GSA, the General Services Administration, and I guarantee you that paper came from the GSA.
Yeah. Really?
I think it's equipped.
Does it have like a watermark logo of the FBI on it?
The FBI has a Marlene. And they go to Marlene and they're like, I need, Marlene, is there any way do you have any brown paper? I need to go on a raid.
There was a year where I wrapped all my Christmas gifts in brown paper and did plaid bows. Oh. I used that brown paper. And
that was a cool theme.
And everyone thought it was depressing. I did not get any positive feedback because they felt it wasn't very holiday-ish, even though the
paper.
Plaid bows.
And scotch tape doesn't work with the brown paper.
I know,
paper.
I had to use packing tape.
Oh,
it was,
yeah,
it was
that's
very
the
labor-intensive.
Only stuff that works.
Brown paper is only for eco-friendly meat wrapping and federal investigations. That's the only two times you can use brown paper.
And sending gifts.
Yeah, right. Several of Chicago's music venues have bonded together in the face of the proposed Lincoln Yards development, which plans to create several music venues in its sprawling development along the Chicago River. Very cool. These venues would be run by the giant Live Nation and compete with Chicago's independent music venues, or in some cases just bulldoze them for the land. It's called the Chicago Independent Venue League, which is very superhero. Right?
Yes, that's a Marvel comic.
Yeah.
You know,
they have a signal that they flash up? Like,
we're going to see it on the old post office. One of those giant.
The band Bastille's in town, and they flash that up there, and they're like, "Oh, independent venues unite."
There's capes.
I mean, joking around. It's a great story because for a long time, independent venues, everything from the Empty Bottle to the Hideout to Metro. They don't have a voice. The government here in City Hall, they willy-nilly on whatever issues, even though they are such a source of tourism and they generate they're big members of their communities and the economies, the local economies. You know this from going to shows, but they don't get a lot of love from the mayor's office. And so this idea that a development would come in and they would just essentially replace these. That's the idea. They would just do generic blues club, generic comedy club, generic alt music club. That's what the Lincoln Yards development is planning.
But they're probably going to decorate it to make it look like it's been there for a long time.
It's going to be the Let Us Entertain You of of music clubs.
Yeah,
that's what's going
to
happen.
I'm guilty of going to a lot of Live Nation shows, so I feel like I've contributed to the problem.
No, but it's something we have to pay attention to because those independent music venues are not asking to end the development. They just want to slow it down to make sure that they are understood. And I think that's worthy. So, all right. A new study out says that U.S. age expectancy is dropping. This is due to the rise in drug overdoses and suicides. Some researchers say this is the worst decline in over a century. The number right now, the life expectancy in the United States is 78.6. which coming up on the Download in Chicago Business, we're talking about the death gap.
Right.
On the west side of Chicago, the life expectancy in some neighborhoods like West Garfield Park is under 69. So you can see the difference. That's what we're talking about, why it's so low in some communities when the expectancy average is 78.6. But regardless, this is a very sobering to think that actual drug overdoses and suicides are affecting the overall average of how long we live. That's crazy.
Well, and it shows those are two issues we haven't got a handle on, mental illness, you know, disease.
Right.
Those are both disease.
Absolutely.
Know.
All right. If this week wasn't enough weather for you with the blizzard and the freezing temperatures, now the hazard is falling ice. The melt-off is causing concern as big chunks of ice, frozen snow, same thing? Frozen snow and ice, same thing? Close?
Well,
same family?
I got it with some yesterday.
What?
Yeah, nasty. It was
on the
loudest.
Eisenhower.
Really?
Well, yeah.
You're walking along the Eisenhower?
No, not me. My car. Well, I was in the car.
Dave,
but, you know.
Was the ruling on it, is that the same thing? Frozen snow and ice?
Yeah, what was the ruling? They're the same thing?
Ice is harder.
I don't think it's the same thing exactly.
Well, they probably still hurt from 55 floors up.
So Justin didn't even get snow in the city, so he doesn't know. But those of us out in the suburbs, it was crashing down. It was the loudest. John DeCoste said his dogs wouldn't even go outside because the noise, you know, it was scary. Things are falling from the, you know, trees and street signs.
Yeah, I was out shoveling my driveway yesterday, and I thought someone was in the yard. I turned around. Because I heard this crash, and it's all this snow and ice falling off the house.
That's amazing. And, yeah, I can imagine right now. And we take for granted those signs that are on the sidewalks down in the loop. We're walking down on Michigan Avenue, and they have a sign.
What are you supposed to do?
What do you
do,
right?
Well, don't look up.
Avoid
that's
it.
What you're supposed to do.
Wear clean underwear, just in case.
Yeah, because I remember a couple stories from the history where people have been killed by ice in very bad and dramatic ways.
Yeah.
So,
and I love
up.
How people are avoiding the signs and walking through anyway. Right. And they see, and you know the police are like yelling at them, lady. I saw that on the news yesterday. I was like,
lady.
Why would you do that?
Yeah. All right. And our last one today in sports, Mitch Trubisky probably won't play on Sunday. The Cubs traded legend Tommy La Stella. He's out. And it's D-Day for whether the Sox are going to stay with right fielder Avi Garcia. But tomorrow, just very well be the biggest game in Northwestern football history, Dave Ennett? Do you think that this is the biggest game to play the Big Ten championship? I mean, obviously the Rose Bowl in 95, that's a huge, huge game. But this is the Big Ten championship with, the Rose Bowl on the line.
I think you make that case. I certainly think that it's certainly in recent times it's the biggest game they've played. They've played a bunch of them. But this one, you know, the difference in 95... Justin, is they didn't control their destiny as far as going to the Rose Bowl. They were able to win the championship. Then they had to sit back and wait a week until Michigan knocked off Ohio State, and that sent Northwestern to the Rose Bowl.
Right.
This time, they know they're 60 minutes away from going to Pasadena.
Well, Coach Fitz is going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour. That's your Top 6 at 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Lou Manfredini joins us every Friday, Lou's First Call, to set up the weekend. Lou, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm sorry that Steve's not here. He's got a three-day weekend. I know you're bummed.
I know.
To have to talk to me. And,
I am bummed. Especially for a guy that works on Saturday.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Let's get right to Mark. Mark's on the line. He's got a question for Lou. It's Lou's First Call, sponsored by American Weathermakers. Mark, what's your question, buddy?
Hey, Lou, got a tough one for you. I got a blacktop driveway, and it's old. It's 17 years old, and it had all these cracks in it. So I had the brilliant idea of putting a concrete thin set on it, and it did a beautiful job, filled all the cracks, smoothest. And then I went to put the blacktop sealant on it, and nothing will stick to it. All summer long, it's been flaking off, cracking off. I've scraped it. I've tried three different sealants. I've tried black paint, of all things. Nothing will stick to this concrete thin set.
Can I? You don't mind if I kind of question the brilliant idea of putting the thin set over the blacktop, do you?
No, I yeah, don't. I realize it was a big mistake. At the time, I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, so, I mean, the issue there is that with that thin set over the top of that, it's absorbing some of the... I'm surprised that it's stuck, quite frankly, but the fact that you got it to stick to the asphalt, you've got a little bleed through of the oil, and then the fact that it's thin set, you know, it's a water-based material, and it's just not, nothing's going to stick to it. This isn't going to work. The dissimilar materials are just going to cause you a huge headache. About the only thing you could do to salvage this, now obviously it's a little too late because of the season, but there is a concrete paint used to go on patios and decks called Restore, which is a very thick, like molasses paint. It really isn't designed to be driven on, and so this is only a temporary fix.
Okay.
And you're probably, you know, this has solidified your decision that you need a new blacktop driveway.
There you go.
Stanley. Yeah, that, I was trying to defer it, going to sell the house in a couple of years as the kids move out.
Right.
I was trying to get through it.
Well, here's the thing. If you don't, you know, I get what you're saying. If you don't do anything about it, when you go to sell, it's going to become an issue. They're going to say, love the house. The driveway's a mess. I want a, you know, $8,000 credit or a $5,000 credit. If you have the money and in your budget to afford to do it now, you get to enjoy a nice driveway, and then when you go to sell, it's a non-issue.
There you go. Thanks, Mark. Stay on the line, and we will give you the April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone from American Weathermakers. A 60-minute man, call 855-955-HVAC.
Hey, Lou, what should he have done if he couldn't have redone the driveway instead of using that?
Well, when you have a lot of cracks like that, they do make a driveway sealer that has emulsion in it, so it has a little bit more sand, and helps to fill smaller cracks, and it goes on super heavy as well. It's not perfect, but it looks a lot better than what you have. And then it's a similar material, so then it sticks.
Lou, when can we hear you and when can we see you?
Well, you're going to see me in just a few minutes on WGN-TV, so you can leave the sound down and leave the radio up. And then tomorrow morning, starting at 7 a.m. on WGN Radio.
There you go. Always great to talk to you, buddy.
See you. Have a nice
great
weekend,
everybody. Yep. There you go. Lou Manfredini, Lou's first call, sponsored by American Weathermakers. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll do the download in Chicago business, talking about the death gap. That's 720 WGN.
It's business time. It's business. It's business time. I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh, it's business. It's business.
It's time for the download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank, here on the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. Today, what happens when businesses come together, competing businesses come together to deal with something that's happening in the community? That's what's the topic on display today, the download on Chicago Business says. This is, I love this story because, you know, when you think of hospitals, you don't necessarily think of them as being businesses, but they are. I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's what they are. And three hospitals on the west side of Chicago have come together, and after a year-long process of trying to identify what are some of the issues that are plaguing their communities, they have come together as one in a new company or a new initiative called the West Side United, which is really to address the death gap. We talked about life expectancy in the beginning of the show, where it's on the decline in the United States overall, which is very concerning to many scientists and researchers. But in Chicago, particularly in some neighborhoods like West Garfield Park, the life expectancy is 7-8 years lower, to under 69 years old. And that's something that has to be addressed, and it looks like it's being addressed through these companies on the West Side. Aisha Jaco is the Senior Program Director for West Side United. She joins us now. Aisha, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So did I get that right? Tell us about how West Side United came about.
So West Side United is a collaborative effort of actually six health institutions that include Lurie Children's Hospital, Cook County Health, UI Health, Rush, Sinai Health System, and Presence Health. And it was spanned out of mission change for Rush University, who wanted to be more mindful about looking at health inequities in their surrounding communities. And so, as you mentioned, over the last actually 18 months, there has been a spinoff of this initiative of looking specifically at the life expectancy gap between the Loop, which is 85, and 10 West Side communities, where the lowest is 69 in West Garfield Park. No, I was just saying that they have come together to look at how they can address this by pulling together their internal resources, scaling up existing efforts, and then filling in gaps to look at how we better serve communities that are right in the backyard of these hospitals.
And that's what I want to get to, because when you think about, you know, having to address the needs of the community, but not just communities, patients, and your business, it's important to understand what the consumer needs and to understand what some of these underlying issues are, health concerns in your neighborhood. It has to help these hospitals understand how to deal with those symptoms.
Exactly. And in understanding that, there was an internal process of each institution looking at what they brought to the table and how we could scale up, but also going into the community after realizing the disparity and the gap, then going to our target communities to talk with people on the ground to see what resonated with them and what their needs were. So we conducted a series of 21 listening sessions with close to 500 community members. And from that, we found out that people want basic things. They want safe neighborhoods. They want jobs. They want equitable education. They want meaningful things for young people to do in our communities, which represent 520,000 people. Mm-hmm. That's larger than the size of Atlanta, Miami, Oakland, all on the west side of Chicago.
It's crazy, Aisha, the disparity of the death gap. And we're talking like an 8-mile radius. This isn't like this is, you know, down south or something. Is there a component that the insured versus the uninsured with relation to the death gap?
Well, when we look at it, we're addressing the social determinants of health. So beyond having access to health and health care, we understand that economic vitality is a piece of that. So local hiring, we are looking at the neighborhood and physical environment, safety factors, if there's access to healthy food, and then we're looking at education. So access to health and health care is something that we're looking at in devising a community health strategy that the institutions can implement and focus on two key areas that will allow us to address the death gap in our period. So we're looking to decrease this 16-year gap by 50% by 2030. Okay. So that's a hairy, audacious goal that we have, but we understand that it has to be a multi-pronged approach. So one of the things we heard from the community was we need more community health workers. We know that the entry point for a lot of our vulnerable populations lie in the difference in cultural competency, people not feeling comfortable with coming into health institutions. So we heard back from the community saying we want more community health workers. Most of our residents will interface with a community health worker before they do a doctor. Mm-hmm. So in building that bridge, we can increase access. So we're looking at strategies like that. Yeah. We released an RFP for $125,000 that will go to a community organization in Little Village in Lasse, where their goal is to hire an additional 8 to 10 community health workers and provide access to health care for 1,500 residents. So that's something that we heard from the community. We're making good on our promise by delivering that and just being more granular and intentional about the capacity of our institutions and the needs of the community directly.
Now, Aisha, I can understand and as well articulated here just about the idea of access, and we just talked about that. But when you say that you know, the West, people in the community in the West Side have disproportionate rates of chronic disease, diabetes, asthma, hypertension, heart failure. Are you working in West Side United to find out why that is, why you're getting disproportionate asthma or disproportionate people with diabetes as opposed to people who might live in the Loop?
Yes, we are. And so we are currently, across our 10 initiatives, across the four pillars that I just mentioned, a community health strategy is currently being devised, where we are working with our institutions, and the Sinai Urban Health Institute is leading the charge, along with the UIC School of Public Policy and representatives from Rush University, to figure out how we zero in on one or two of those issues first and foremost, and then how we develop a comprehensive strategy that will give us outcomes and data by 2030 and decreasing the life expectancy gap by looking at, as you mentioned, childhood asthma. Is it a maternal health approach that we should be looking at? Is it hypertension related to stroke and heart disease? So we're in the beginning stages of landing on how we're going to address that issue, but we are looking at that very closely based on data from the Chicago Health Atlas, internal numbers that have been collected across institutions, so that we really hone in on what issues we should be addressing and across what community.
Aisha Jaco is a senior program director for Westside United, and we look forward to your process and getting to your goal in 2030, and we look forward to checking back in with you. Aisha, thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there you go. That's a very interesting, and as you said, Mary, I mean, an 8-mile radius. We're not talking about a community no one access. This is something that is doorsteps from where people live.
It's a continued issue that's highlighted not only with this health, but there's a diet and lifestyle access to everything.
Environmental issues, yeah.
Right. And safety is, you know, it's yeah. just, it's crazy that, and it, you know, health care is a, if you don't grow up in a household where healthcare is a priority or an availability, you don't learn to take care of, you know, you yeah. don't learn to go to the doctor. And when you're a young person and you get pregnant, if you never went to the doctor as a kid, you don't, you know, your care and things, you're not in the habits yeah. of that. That takes some, you know, you have to build that. That doesn't just, you can't just have the healthcare workers. Then you have to teach the people how to use it, you know.
And essentially have six different health, you know, hospital systems and medical companies coming together to form one initiative to address this.
Good for them for recognizing yeah. the need. Yeah.
All right, we got much more coming up here. On we're giving away some. What are we giving? Prize
we're
pack.
Giving away, yeah, a Blackhawks prize pack. We actually know what's in it now. Yeah,
what?
So this is exciting.
This is a surprise. 312-981-7200.
If you're a Seabrook fan, you're gonna want to win this prize.
We're gonna do that right after checking in with Steve Grzanich on the headlines.
Long December, and there's reason to believe.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Steve's out. He'll be back on Monday.
He's out shopping for our Christmas presents today.
Today is December 1st observed. All right, so we got this prize pack. We're giving away the prize pack this week, and the question continued to be, what's in it? And we did not know. And Mary?
Steve was refusing to give it away until yeah. we found out the contents.
Sandberg, you went on. You became an investigative reporter mm-hmm. in the last 24 hours. You were, I think there were stakeouts involved.
I believe my first investigation happened on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you know what's in the prize bag.
I do know what's in the prize bag.
Can you grace that? Can you give us that information?
I can.
Yes!
Okay, so be ready, Dave. This is good stuff.
Okay.
It is a Chicago Blackhawks prize pack, including a signed puck, a new era Brent Seabrook hat.
That's an important distinction.
And some other premium giveaways.
Wait a minute. I thought we were going to know what's in there.
It is a 7-day investigation. She's in day one. She just got the first
two
things.
That's a good start.
The Seabrook hat, those hats are so cool. So that's a... what are we going to do, though?
All right, let's do it. Let's give away a prize pack. 312-981-7200. Seabrook, number 7, right? Is he number 7?
Yes,
he is.
Indeed.
Number 7. So that makes it easy. My math is easy today.
We'll just do the 7th caller. December 1st.
That's December 1st observed. The 7th caller right now is going to get you the prize pack with the Seabrook hat, the signed puck, and other fabulous prizes.
These are premium giveaways.
And
if we could just say, we're still having problems with our text line, so we cannot respond to people.
I know.
So Lori, who wraps her gifts in brown paper and uses the different ribbon every year, I love it. Keep doing it. So
as many people who text into the show, we're pretty aggressive at trying to text back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so don't insult us.
Yeah, well, you can insult us. That's fine. I don't mind the insult.
Because we see it.
Yeah, but they changed the text line this week, and they updated it. And like every rollout of anything new, it has to be reverted back to the old because right. No one liked the new.
Yeah, I was going
to
say what happened. It was like 2 days, and all of a sudden, boom, it was gone.
I've been on...
Except it's back to the old, but we can't use it.
Yeah.
Yes,
I've designed websites before. When I worked at a different radio station, I was in charge of the web team for a little bit.
Why don't you get on this?
It doesn't matter what the product is, and I have friends who are in this business. It doesn't matter. The minute you put something new, there will be half of your clients and your client base will be like, I like the old. Can you put it back? Just like with Gmail.
Yeah,
when Gmail made that change, right?
Yeah,
so that's what happened with the text line. We didn't like the format, so we switched it back. And now we have lost the ability to respond.
Yeah, they're working on it.
They're working on it. Yeah. All right, coming up, Fitz. This is Coach Fitz. This is going to be great. Talk about what could be one of the biggest games in Northwestern football history. I'm so excited. That's coming up right after the news.
And most importantly, trust yourself.
Have a great rest of the day, Bobcats.
How amazing.
That was
chills.
That was the tail end of a video which Northwestern put out on social media last night, narrated by Brent Musburger, and their watchwords of the program and kind of trust yourself. And that's
like the Big Ten Coach of the Year, like you said, maybe one of the biggest games, if not the biggest games in Northwestern football history, coming up tomorrow, the Big Ten Championship in Indianapolis, which Dave will, of course, have the call here on 720 WGN. Coach Pat Fitzgerald joins us on Fridays.
Sponsored by many of Glencoe, North Shore, many of Chicago.
Coach Fitz, congratulations on the honor of being the Big Ten Coach of the Year, and I cannot wait for tomorrow.
Well, it's a program award. It starts in our locker room, and so proud of our guys and you know, our staff. We've been together for a long time, and it's a program recognition, not an individual recognition. But, yeah, we're fired up. Yeah, what a great opportunity, 60 minutes to become Big Ten champions, and so proud of our guys and looking forward to the challenge tomorrow night.
You know, Dave and I were batting around the idea of this being the biggest moment in Northwestern football program history. You were involved in the other moment, the Rose Bowl in the mid-90s. Do you see it that way as the coach of this squad? Do you see this as the biggest moment for this program?
Well, I think anytime you compete for a championship, it's a big moment. There's no doubt about that, but I don't know about the biggest, you know. I anticipate there being, you know, continue to be big, big games, and that's what we've wanted to create here as a program, that, you know, we're playing significant games in November and ultimately getting to Indianapolis in December, and there's 14 teams in our conference that obviously want to be in this game tomorrow. There's only two of us, and we're honored to represent the West, but we're just treating this like a normal road game. Just a few more people on the bus.
And 58 busloads of students heading to Indianapolis as well, which is really, really remarkable. Was it a relief this week to be able to put the focus entirely on this game instead of having it as the elephant in the room over the final 2 weeks of the season?
Yeah, probably for the players, Dave. Yeah, absolutely. You know, they've been looking forward to this opportunity, and they did not want to do anything other than make a statement of going undefeated in the Big Ten West. And, you know, we wanted to make sure, number one, we continued to improve and practice, put together a really good plan to get a lead in both games against Minnesota and Illinois, and then try to play as many guys as we could and obviously come out victorious. And, you know, we pretty much accomplished those three goals, the most important being healthy, and secondly, obviously, winning those games. And I know our guys wanted to sweep the West, and to get that job done was absolutely.
Yeah. So, Coach, the reality is, though, this is an additional game. Oh.
Yeah,
is that a mic drop?
Yeah,
a
mic drop. He's like, that's it. He's like, I said what I had to say. I'm out. It's Big Ten Championship week. I have time for you peons.
You know what, Dave, that I'll ask you this a different question. So okay. I was reading about the Big Ten Championship because I couldn't remember the years exactly how long it's been around and whatever, and I did not realize that the reason why there hadn't been a Big Ten Championship game was that the NCAA requires 12 teams to be in your conference in order to have one. And so when you added Nebraska to the Big Ten, you know, then all of a sudden you were...
Well, I also think there was some resistance to it. But this is... 2014 was the first year of it. I think he's back. Now you can ask your question.
Sorry. Oh, Coach is there? Okay.
Yeah, we got him.
So, Coach, you know, it's an additional game on your season. I know you would have played there's a bowl game, but that you get weeks off or whatever. So, in preparing the team, did you do the same thing you've been doing all season? Or, you know, this is an extra game, so you have to, we're worried about the health of the athletes.
Yeah, you know, we just stayed in our routine. You know, stayed with our typical kind of Monday through Thursday plan. You know, I talked to the guys about that here a couple weeks ago that, you know, we'll obviously prepare the way we always do and go do what we do. And then, you know, things change dramatically for bowl season. You know, we'll give the guys off until next weekend. We'll practice our younger players that have not played, which are not very many, next weekend. And, you know, those guys will get some reps. Our veterans will get about a week. You know, week and a half off the field, and then, you know, we'll obviously know where we're going and who we're playing here, really, I guess, Sunday afternoon. So, exciting times, without a doubt, in Evanston, and just so thankful for our young men and our staff, and really excited for our fans here this weekend. I hope they really enjoy the moment and get used to going to Indianapolis the first week in December. That's the first goal, and it's great to get over this hurdle and just so proud to represent them.
Fitz, does it help that this team has won bowl games last 2 years?
Yeah, you know, Dave, I think it helps that we're playing pretty good football. I think it helps that, you know, our veterans have played against Ohio State in Columbus. You know, you called that game. We made some critical mistakes down the stretch, but that was a heck of a battle. And you know, so I think they've got confidence. I really do. I think we really practiced well this week. And I know that, you know, we've been in big games. You know, we've played two top 10 teams. We've unfortunately lost to them by 13 points. And you never look at moral victories, but from a confidence standpoint, our guys know that if we execute and play clean, we can go compete against and put ourselves in position to beat anybody we play. We've just got to put together four quarters and find a way to get it done.
How many of your former teammates are coming to Indy this weekend?
Well, this guy named Gary and his beautiful wife Mary are making the trip.
I heard that,
so that's exciting. And Tammy and Rob Walker and Jamie will be at the game, and that's exciting. And my phone blew up a couple weeks ago, Dave. That's the good news about clinching with 2 weeks to go in the regular season.
You know, plenty of time for ticket requests.
Yeah. Iowa City, I don't know if your phone was working. No. Mine wasn't.
No.
Yeah, but it was a good deal.
Coach Fitz, congratulations on a great season. And, you know, win or lose, this has been a tremendous run for this team. We look forward to the game tomorrow. And, of course, you can get the game here, Dave Ennett, with the big call for the Big Ten Championship. Coach Fitz, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Always appreciate it. Merry Christmas and happy holidays, all the great Wildcat fans, and travel safe to Indianapolis. Thanks a lot. Go Cats.
Thanks.
Well, all of Northwestern is spending their day in Indiana tomorrow because you have the basketball game.
Yes. Yeah. Well, although there won't be as many Northwestern fans there at Assembly Hall in Bloomington. Because,
how do you know they're not double dipping?
Yeah. Oh, no. I know some people are, but it's hard to get tickets. Only get a small allotment of tickets there at Assembly. I'll be there.
You'll be there.
And we'll have the game right here on WGN, which will be at noon.
At the beginning of this season, we were in this room talking about how, man, what are the value and the pitfalls of taking on a schedule with such big ticket team, to take on a team like Notre Dame, to play the Big Ten schedule. I mean, this is a schedule that was set up for this. This has to be the, if not the best outcome, but the best that could be to come into a Big Ten championship game.
Well,
like this.
And I think you do that knowing that it's going to be tough, but if you get through it, then you're going to be that much better. And this team only gave up, I believe, 18 points a game in Big Ten games. Only once did they give up more than 20 in a conference game this year. They played Notre Dame right down to the wire. They were down by 3 with 5 minutes to go. And I know people say, well, yeah, but look at how they ended up pulling away, winning by 10. Okay, 10 points against a team that went 12-0.
It was a tight game.
It was a tight game throughout. And then in the Michigan game, they were up 17-0, ended up losing by 3. So Anybody who thinks they go in there without a chance tomorrow, I think you might be mistaken. Ohio State's a great team, no question about it. But I think Northwestern tends to get undersold a little.
Well, I mean, you could play the game, right, where, of course, we lost to Michigan. Michigan got trashed by Ohio State. Sorry,
yeah,
Super Joe.
What are we talking about?
Point is Northwestern beat on the road, beat Purdue, and Purdue was the team that squashed Ohio State. So it can go one way or the other.
One thing Northwestern has in their pocket is that I believe the week they clinched, Steve Cochran was off that Friday and did not talk to
Correct.
Fitz prior
Correct.
To that game. And Fitz pointed it out the following week that ended up being good luck.
Charm,
so
right.
Steve Cochran is off today. He has a vacation day to do some Christmas shopping. And so that looks bodes well for the Northwestern Wildcats tomorrow.
I think he really took today off at Fitz's request.
So I think we can say the reason why they're this good is the new facility. It's a direct... You get a new facility, all of a sudden you win all the games.
We got a new facility.
I know.
And we carry the games.
That's right.
So there you go. It's
full circle. When's kickoff? When is kickoff?
Kickoff is at be a little after 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And just to follow up on one thing, in case people were a little confused when I asked Fitz about who's coming to the game, you mentioned Gary and Mary. Yeah. Gary Barnett, who was his coach. The 95 team, and also a Tammy Walker, the widow of Randy Walker, Fitz's predecessor. Those two coaches are his mentors. And so I think to have them both represented there will be a really cool thing for him tomorrow.
You see the billboards all over town, Chicago's Big Ten team, Chicago's college football team, the Northwestern Wildcats, and it's pretty awesome to be a Chicagoan and have a stake in the playoff, college football playoffs at the end of the season. It's really great.
They went to the Rose Bowl back then, I remember the newspaper coverage of the pictures of them. It was like the biggest thing that could happen. Yeah. And so now with the social media and all that, the boom will be huge.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a lot of fun. And Coach Fitz, by the way, sponsored by many of Glencoe, North Shore, many of Chicago.
All right. Coming up, the MVPP. We get that coming up. And also, we're going to talk to Hamp about the Bears' trip to the Meadowlands coming up on Sunday. 720 WGN. There it is. Steve Cochran Show. Steve's out. He's back on Monday. He's got a three-day weekend as we roll through. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Very excited about this. The Vernon Hills High School Choir.
I've just been told they are in the building.
They're in the green room. The PC, what is it? The PC Paints? PC
PPG Paints.
PCG Paints. Very excited to have the choir in the performance studio. That's so great. And the Woodstock Choir was great earlier this week, and to have them here today, it's going to be outstanding. So that's coming up. And also, Dan Hampton's going to join us as he does on Fridays and Mondays, sponsored by Chevy. Very excited to talk about what the Bears might be able to do with Chase Daniel at the Meadowlands against the Giants coming up on Sunday. Well, it's time for our most valuable person on the planet. This is an interesting story coming out of South Carolina. Okay, so let me just set this up before we get to our guest. It's a popular eatery in Hampton Park called Harold's Cabin. And they have a regular, Melvin Brown, who's there. And this is a story that the restaurant changed the name of Mel's Cabin to honor... they changed it to Mel's Cabin.
Yeah, it's Harold. They put
Mel's
over.
Right.
Yeah.
So Harold's, they changed it to Mel's because... essentially to point out what is really amounts to racism, and an African-American customer who was omitted or not allowed into a rifle club in South Carolina. On the line with us, John Schumacher. He's the co-owner of now Mel's Cabin.
I think it's Mel's Cabin
through Monday. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm not in the green room, and you don't want to hear me sing choir. So.
Good. Well, we'll leave that to the high school experts that'll be here. So explain this story to us. You have a regular customer, and you wanted to make a point about your regular customer, and that's why you changed the name. Explain it.
Yeah. So we're in a neighborhood in Charleston, South Carolina. One of our regulars, Mel Brown, he lives across the street. He's just a great guy. He's been coming to us since we opened about 2.5 years ago. The guy is just an incredible human being. If I did half what he did in his lifetime, I'd consider myself successful. But he's a military veteran, served two tours in Afghanistan. He's a doctor. He's on the MUSC Board of Trustees, and he applied to join a local club called the Charleston Rifle Club. And he and 13 others, and he was the only one denied. And it's pretty
pretty straightforward. The reason he was denied is because he was black. And so, you know, to show support for him, you know, we decided to change the name Harold Gavin to Mel Gavin, just to support him. We've got a family, and I just hate to see, it's turned your stomach to hear about these things, but we just wanted to, you know, start the conversation or continue the conversation until it was there. Just to show support for him.
Yeah, and it obviously that's true because, you know, you could be upset behind closed doors. You could commiserate with your friends. You could be angry about what is this perceived racism. But to go as far as to change the name of your business, it shows that this is a conversation that's continuing in Charleston and around the country, and it needs to continue.
It does. It does. You know, we're not breaking any barriers here by any stretch, but what we're trying to do is just, you know, bring it out. You know, some of our partners, you know, Mike Beck is one of our partners in the restaurant, you know, and his dad, Bill Beck, he was the first one to sign, you know, African-American player, Larry Dover, to the American League. So it's been around for decades, centuries. So, but, you know, hopefully we can take some baby steps, you know, to just keep the conversation going, you know.
Right, and for you to, you know, for Melvin, does he? How's his response been to the idea of changing the name from Harold's Cabin to Mel's Cabin?
Well, he was a little bit embarrassed at first. very very grateful, but you know we checked with him before we did it because you know he's the one that's going to get the attention and rightfully should, because he needed to check with his wife and he has kids. And he talked it over with them, and his wife, it was such a great response. His wife said, hey, you survived two tours in Afghanistan. You can survive this.
Hmm. You can handle a little attention from the restaurant. One of the things, just to say about the Charleston Rifle Club, you know, Mel was sponsored by three Caucasian members, and this would be, he'd be the first African-American to be a member of the club. So I don't want to say the whole club rejected him. There are
people
are there, yeah. So
yeah.
He's, and they're awaiting, I guess, they're going to do a comment or another meeting. Does he get to apply again, do you know?
No, not the way their bylaws are written. The way their bylaws are written, and they tried to change them, some of the folks, you know, like you mentioned, there's people in the Rifle Club who want to see change, want to see a integration. But the way the bylaws are written, there's 800 members, and it only takes 6 members to blackball somebody, which essentially means he can never apply again. And 6 isn't a whole lot. So he can't apply again the way that the law, their bylaws are written. So.
Well, there's a big debt meeting. We should follow up with you and see how that meeting goes. It's coming up next week to really... How has the community in Charleston responded to this? Is this become front page news in Charleston, or are you surprised at all the response to this?
It's been overwhelmingly supportive. You know, surprise, it's so hard. You know, you could be surprised, but also not surprised because there's so many, you know, there's more great people than there are not. And all those have shown a ton of support, and it has gotten a lot of media attention, which I'm thankful for Mel. But, you know, it's, again, it's just bringing a situation out into the open so there's some discussion.
Yeah. John Schumacher is a co-owner of Mel's Cabin, at least till Monday, in Charleston, South Carolina. You're our most valuable person on the planet today. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. You guys have a great day.
Thank you. There's a lot of Chicago connections there. You're talking to the Vec family. Bill Murray is a co-owner in that establishment, Harold's Cabin. So there you go.
Charleston is a hot place to go. I think. Yeah. Didn't you go with your wife, Dave? Weren't you guys in Charleston?
I have been there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were, it's a new, it's like, yeah, it's a very foodie type place, yeah, to vacation.
Well, interesting story. We'll see how, like I said, how it plays out, because I have this meeting and the community gets to sound off next week. So thanks to John for giving us some time this morning.
An animal!
Dan Hampt anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Dan Hampton joins us all regularly, that's what we'll say, here on the Steve Cochran Show. And, of course, the New York Football Giants host the Chicago Bears at the Meadowlands. Dan Hampton has a little bit of history with the New York Giants. Played him in that playoff game. Played him on Monday Night Football back in 1987. Lots to do. Dan Hampton joins us. Dan, thanks for joining us, bud.
Well, good morning, and you're exactly right. The Giants, over the years, have been a very proud historic franchise. They've fallen on some hard times, but if you are aware of what happened last night, the mighty New Orleans Saints roll into Dallas. Dallas slaps them around. I mean, this is a very similar situation. A good team going to a lesser team, and the proverbial trap game moniker could be applied, because we all know who comes to Soldier Field a week from Sunday. So it's important that with a backup quarterback, a limited Akeem Hicks, we make sure everybody focuses on what we need to do, and that is to try to get a win and get back to Chicago.
All right, so let's address, first of all, the quarterback situation. We saw it last week. Hemp, any reason to think it's going to be play out any differently for the Bears this week?
Well, you got to tip your cap. You know, Chase Daniel did a fine job. You know, 230 yards, a couple of touchdowns, no big mistakes, no big problems. I will tell you this, the Giants now have some tape on him. They know what he likes to do, that he can move around. He can buy a little time in the pocket. He knows exactly what the schematics of the routes are, and he knows where to go if he does get into a bind. So if he's able to play as well as he did on Thanksgiving this weekend, we'll all be, you know, grateful. But as you know, a lot of times, you know, lucky in the first try. Let's see what the Giants have in store for him. But more importantly, it's not going to be cold in New York, but it's that time of year where it's December. Look at the calendar. It's time we start to try to run the ball a little bit more and not make our team so, you know, quarterback centric, where we've got three capable running backs. We've all screamed all year, where's Jordan Howard? Where's Jordan Howard? Well, Taquan Menzel is getting more and more snaps. And we know that Tariq Cohen, you know, is very effective. So I'd like to see us run the ball 35, 40 times. Yeah. And if we got to throw it 20, 25, that would be good. But, hey, you got to tip your cap. Chase did a great job. Hopefully he can do it again.
Let's talk about the defensive side of the ball. We're going up against rookie phenom Saquon Barkley. You also have Odell Beckham Jr., of course, and Eli Manning. Well, the Chicago Bears, this should be a good opportunity for them, because they rush the passer, and this is not a great offensive line, and Eli Manning doesn't run anymore. He may walk, but he does not run.
Nice. Now, the sitting duck moniker could be applied for sure. But he's been able to find it. You know, the first 6-7 weeks, he struggled. And, you know, the drum beat of replace Eli was pretty loud when all of a sudden he kind of found it. And now the offense is starting to click. And last week it was a great comeback by the Philadelphia Eagles and Carson Wentz. Otherwise, this Giant team that everybody was laughing at would have won three in a row. And they've built confidence with, you know, the fact that Barkley is, he's really good, guys. You know, everybody wants to say Todd Gurley's the best back in football, and then you got Ezekiel Elliott. But I don't know if this guy's not better than both of them. He did some pretty amazing things last week against the Eagles, who we all know played in the Super Bowl last year. They're not a ditch water defense, but at the end of the day, the combination of his running and then Odell Beckham on the outside, who's a touchdown at any point and at any place on the field if he gets the ball in his hand. So, yeah, this team is not without threats. But the one thing about it is you got to think, you know, the Bears have been remarkable this year about taking care of business, and I'll be the first one to say that. Going into that three-game stretch we just finished, which was Detroit, then Minnesota, and then Detroit, they could have lost any one of those three games. And, you know, a lesser team would have lost in Detroit last week. Remember, it was tied late in the game. And it was a pick six by Eddie Jackson that put us in a position to be tied. Yeah, but right, then we picked off a ball in the end zone that preserved the victory. So, I mean, they have found ways to win ball games. And you know, that's one thing that, you know, when John Fox was here, it just, they never had answers. Every team made us, you know, look like fools. They clowned on us. Well, now we are the ones that are making plays to win games.
We're clowning on them.
Well, and think about this. Normally this happens in year two or three. This is year one. No NFL coach has had this type of 8-3 start, a better one. I think there's two other ones that have been, you know, at least that good. But for Matt Nagy to start 8-3 in his rookie campaign with a team that was abysmal for 5 years, hey, we're watching some really good stuff here.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
So, Dan, is the person who does the scheduler, you know, I put you on the calendar every Monday and Friday or, you know, adjusting around a Monday night football game or whatever. And by this time, the last, you know, 4 years here with the show, I'm like, do we have to talk about Bears this late in the season? They're so terrible. Who wants to keep talking about the Bears? And here we are. I had to add you to the schedule in January because the reality is we're probably going to at least have one playoff game, you know. So, but the big conversation is, if people take the Bears seriously, are they for real? You know, are they like as a real team that's winning and good? Does it matter if people take you seriously or if they think you're legitimate?
Well, it's a dual-edged sword. We all want respect, you know, and obviously, you know, in this culture, you know, respect is a big deal. But when teams respect you, then you got to bring your A game. Look at Philadelphia. They're 5-6, and every step of the way this year has been on a landmine. You know, everybody wants to be the man. And you got to beat the man to be the man. Well, guess what? Philadelphia's taking it in the chops week after week after week. So the better we play, the better our record, the less chance of us sneaking up on folks. And so, again, trust me, the New York Giants know that they're not going anywhere for Christmas, and you know what? They're looking at the FedEx truck when it pulls up because they're not going to get no playoff checks. It's going to be if mommy sends them some, but they can put a feather in their cap if they upset the playoff bound Bears, and that's what they're going to play for. I remember playing on bad teams. We would look at the good teams coming in and look at each other and say, "Hey, let's give them a bad day." And because we know we're not going anywhere, let's take them down a notch. And trust me, it's a huge motivating force. And again, Matt Nagy's going to find this out. At 8-3, and a lot of things have gone right. Well, he's got to find ways to keep them focused. And again, last night, Dallas basically slapping around what everybody considers maybe the if not the best team in the NFL, one of the top two or three. Well, it could happen anywhere at any time, and that's what the Giants are hoping for.
Okay, Hamp, last question about your favorite. What's your favorite memory of playing against the Giants? Is it that 85 playoff game? Is that Monday Night Football game a couple years later? When you think about the New York Giants as a player, what comes to mind?
I just saw Bill Parcells in Florida about a month ago, and we were kind of laughing about some of the matchups. And the Giants were a great team, and we all know that in 85 we had to beat them to get to the championship game, and they had a good team. That team won the Super Bowl the following year. But we beat them, and remember the Sean Landetta whiff punt. The punter completely right. missed the ball, and it was a great game. But I got to tell you that Monday night game, they billed it as the Clash of the Titans before the movie came out. And the Giants had won in 86. We had won in 85. We started the Monday night year in 87. And by the third quarter, we had Phil Sims running backwards, screaming like a little baby and trying to get Jeff Hostetler in to take over because things weren't going so well for
them. Oh, what a great memory. That's one of the Chicago Bears fans have a smile on their face.
What happens when you see Phil Sims now? Do you remind him of that?
No, of course.
Of course.
Of course. And you know what? And you know what? At some point, every dog has their day. And, you know, I take great pride in the fact I played against Elway 6 times. I was 6-0 against Elway. Unfortunately, Marino's got that one on me. But when I see Sims, I always say, Clash of the Titans,
oh,
huh?
That's great.
That's, and he goes,
great.
Shut up.
That's awesome. Ham sponsored by Chevy Drive, Chicago.com. Quick predictions. Dave Anna, what do you think is going to happen this Sunday?
I think the Bears are going to find a way, but it's going to be a low-scoring game. I'm going to say Bears 23, Giants 20.
Okay. Mary, what do you think?
I'm going to go with a 14-14 tie.
Shocker. Shocker.
Hamp, what do you think?
10-9, Bears win the one.
Ooh, look at that. Mary Vanderbilt, you want to get in?
Oh, I'm going to go like 17-14 Bears.
Now, right. We didn't get an actual score from Steve, but did he, I don't remember, did he say if he thought they were going to win or
yeah,
not?
I don't know.
Dave, did you have any conversations with Mr. Cochran?
No, he said he would let us know Monday.
Oh. There, I say Bears 27, Giants 23. Dan Hampton, of course, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Ham, thanks for joining us, bud.
No, post-game, 3 to 5:30, go Bears.
Go Bears.
Can't wait.
Love it. Best pre-game and post-game, but post-game in this case. In the city. All right, we'll come back here in a second and give away some more prize. You want to give a prize pack for the Blackhawks?
Ooh, no, we want to give away tickets to a game.
Tickets coming up. And I go back to December all the time. It turns out freedom ain't nothing but missing you. December 1st observed here on the program. A little Taylor Swift for you to get you motivated for the weekend.
This just made my Friday, I gotta say. Joe just went to the top of my list of best favorite people on the show.
That's all it took was a snippet of a Taylor Swift song.
Did you see?
You're like, who was this?
Taylor.
All right, we got Blackhawks tickets.
And that is because you started the show this morning thinking that it was December 1st. You were going to write off November 30th. So all the people out there that are celebrating a birthday or an anniversary day or something, Justin was done with November.
I wanted to have that experience of it being December 1st. So like I said, rabbit, 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 like WGN lore. And I just feel that December 1st on a Saturday, you know, it's observed.
Yeah, so we're observing
it
today.
It's like a bank holiday.
But if November 30th matters to you, you still get your celebration.
Nobody cares about November 30th.
Except it's my half birthday.
That's except right. It's Dave's half birthday. 312.
And in honor of Dave's half birthday.
Here it is.
We are going to give away a pair of tickets to an upcoming Chicago Blackhawks game.
If they are the, why don't we go with... let's see who. Let's see what.
See, if you cut my age in half,
we can do that.
It'd still be too many.
It's his half birthday, so let's say 6 caller 312-981-7200. 6 months.
Yeah, oh, okay.
312-981-7200. 6 caller. You're going to get Blackhawks tickets coming up. The stories that matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
720 WGN. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Steve's out. He'll be back on Monday. Justin Kaufman here, 312-981-7200. Joining us on the line from the Big Apple, New York City, Dean Richards for more on entertainment. Dean, New York City, this first time?
Yes, I've noticed there's such tall buildings here. I'm running around like Frank Sinatra in a Navy uniform, dancing in the streets.
I was hoping it was going to be more like Splash, like you were in a mermaid costume, you know,
right,
with Tom Hanks.
Well, the weekend's young. Anything could happen.
Anything could happen. Why are you in New York?
We are doing interviews, of course. I'll interview the cast of Aquaman today. Jason Momoa and Patrick Wilson and who else? Dolph Lundgren from the Rocky movies is in this movie.
Really?
I saw it last night. I can't give you a full review on it, but I think fans are going to be happy with it. I can say that about it so far. But also, I'm super excited to interview the cast of Mary Poppins Returns. Emily Blunt and Lin-Manuel Miranda and many of the other cast members of that movie. And Julia Roberts has a brand new movie with Lucas Hedges, the young actor. He plays her drug addicted son. It's not exactly a happy romp through the park. It's a mother trying to help her son who is struggling with addiction recovery. But it's a really riveting movie, and I'll interview them over the weekend as well.
Yesterday you were talking.
You know, they have a big Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center. Right. I may run by and go see that. And,
so many lights. You know,
New York just before Christmas time is beautiful.
Oh, you got to have a slice of pizza, buddy.
If I'm forced to, if someone twists my arm.
So yesterday you were talking about the Hugh Jackman one-man show. Do you have more details on that?
Yeah, we do. We, as I'd mentioned, that Hugh Jackman was going to release details on this yesterday, and in fact he did. And he is going to launch this one-man world tour that will be all over Europe and in Germany and, of course, on London's West End. They're going to be doing huge shows, and it's going to be shows of him doing his musical pieces from his career on Broadway and on film. And it will be in Chicago on June 21st. Of next year at the United Center. Wow. Hugh Jackman's one-man show at the Intimate United Center. How about that?
That's amazing. What an amazing thing to think about, like his career, because he's done so many Broadway shows and he's got the song and dance down part. But I'm just, I'm imagining he's like, would you guys like to see some Wolverine? It's like,
right?
Such an interesting career. Yeah.
Well, it's just amazing to me. I mean, you know, the home of the Blackhawks, the home of the Bulls. This is where, you know, some of the biggest names in music perform, because outside of Soldier Field, it's really the biggest venue that there is. But what an evolution. Yeah. I remember seeing Hugh Jackman years ago as sort of an opening act for Richard Marx at the Arcata Theater, the tiny little intimate Arcata Theater in St. Charles, not that long ago. He was just really trying out. He'd been on Broadway, but he was trying out, you know, doing a one-man show by himself. And now he's going to play the United Center in some of the biggest venues in the world.
Amazing.
Doing songs from Beauty and the Beast. In 2011, he toured Australia as Gaston in Beauty and the Beast and The Greatest Showman and Boy from Oz and Oklahoma and Les Mis that he did, you know, the movie version of that. So it's going to be a heck of a show. I'm really looking forward to that.
So, Dean,
musical.
Do you think that he's recording it and it'll be a Netflix special at some point?
I can't believe that it wouldn't be. I can't believe that this wouldn't become, you know, some kind of special for somebody at some point, because it's going to be, it's a spectacular sounding show. It's not going to be, you know, a huge show. You know, it's not like he's going to tour for a year or something like that. So it's going to have a fairly limited run. It's going to begin in May in Germany, and then the North American leg will start in Houston on June 18th, and then come to Chicago June 21st, and then continue 22 cities in North America is what we know so far. But, you know, if you're interested in this, December 7th is the date to keep on your calendar. That's when December 7th, 10 a.m., tickets are going to go on sale at HughJackmanTheShow.com. So keep that handy. I think this is going to be a heck of a show because he's an amazing stage performer.
You know, I didn't realize that the award season started this early. Yesterday or the day before, we were talking about some of the distinctions that were thrown out about some of the great performances already. I forgot.
The Moron Awards? Is that what you're talking about? It wasn't the Moron Awards.
Oh. It was something different.
Everyone here in New York is talking about the Moron Awards. I didn't even get off the plane yesterday and somebody stopped me in the airport and they said, hey, aren't you half of Moron Energy? Entertainment, and will you be bringing the Moron Awards to Madison Square Garden here in New York?
A touring award show.
Right, and I said, you know, we're not sure where we're going to do the awards yet. It'll either be at Madison Square Garden or Studio C at WGN. We're not sure which of the places, the venues where this will be at.
Including the Moron Awards, the legitimate awards are the New York Film Critics Awards are now. I mean, there seems to be, this becomes the beginning of the season for that.
Oh yeah. They're going to come out fast and furious between now and when the Oscars come out in February. But we had the National Board of Review the other day. They gave Green Book their best movie. And last night here in New York, I wasn't there. I was seeing Aquaman. But the New York Film Critics Association gave out their awards, and they chose the film Roma as their best picture, which I've talked about a little bit on the air. It's the new movie from Academy Award-winning director Alfonso Cuarón. And it's a black and white movie. It's all in Spanish. It features no big stars at all. It's the story of it's his autobiographical story of growing up in a fairly dysfunctional family in Mexico. The story is centered around the housekeeper for this fairly dysfunctional family. He was one of the kids in this family, but it's really sort of a slice of lower to middle class life in Mexico. But it's extremely compelling. It's beautifully shot and beautifully told. I know a lot of people don't like movies with subtitles, but you know, after about 5 minutes, you sort of get used to it. It's not that big of a deal because the story draws you in.
I don't mind subtitles, Dean, but I don't want to go with someone that doesn't need the subtitles. Like, the person I go with needs to also be reading with me. They are not going to be allowed to understand the Spanish.
Be communal.
Yeah,
right.
We got to be in this together.
Right.
While you're reading, the other person is,
exactly. Right. I don't need that.
Yeah, I can understand that.
All right, so movie reviews for this weekend. You got The Favorite, The Possession of Hannah Grace. It's not as big of a weekend as maybe the weekends that are coming up or the weekends that just happened with Thanksgiving, but still some movies coming out.
Yeah, this weekend and next weekend are going to be super slow weekends with really odd choices. Next weekend, there is a movie about it's a Christmas zombie movie that's coming out next week. Just to give you an idea of what they're trying
that's
to squeeze
where they're
in
at, right.
before the holidays, but the weekend after that is when the next wave of big holiday movies like Aquaman and Mary Poppins and you know, all the other big movies that everyone's going to be going to see over their holiday break will be coming out. So we'll talk about those then. But for this weekend, one of the movies that has got tons of Oscar buzz, and I can see why, is called The Favorite. And it's an 18th century English period piece. Right there, you know, a lot of people are like, I'm out. You know, it's like movies with subtitles. You know, when you hear subtitles, some people are going, nope, I'm not going to go see it. I'll go see Venom instead. But this period piece movie is unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's edgy. It's naughty. It's all the things that are Dave Bennett. Keira Knightley is not in this one. She loves herself a good hoop skirt, I will say. Nobody loves a hoop skirt more than Keira Knightley. This one features Oscar winner Emma Stone. This one features the English actress Rachel Weisz and also English actress Olivia Munn, who plays Queen Anne, 18th century. You get a sense of what a nutty monarch this was of the United Kingdom at the time, and the people who were around her. One of them, her right hand, really the person who was making all the decisions, while Queen Anne was off in her own stratosphere, played by Rachel Weisz. But the title of the movie, The Favorite, refers to who is going to be her favorite underling, whether it's going to be the Rachel Weisz character or this poor servant who is working her way into the affections of Princess Anne, played by Emma Stone. And it's a very interesting, very compelling story, but it's so edgy and so different, at times so funny. It's unlike any period piece movie that I've ever seen. I even hesitate calling it that because I know it's going to turn people off, but it's a great movie. It's so well acted. It's so well made. I gave this one a Dean's List A. Really great.
Well, let's leave it there. We could pick up with the others, and people could check it out because I've got the Vernon High School Choir chomping at the bit here.
Vernon Hills.
Well, right. Yeah, let me just tell you real quick. The Possession of Hannah Grace was not screened for critics. It's a demonically possessed cadaver movie, is what I understand. Make your own decisions on that one.
There you go. Dean, have a great weekend.
Happy holidays.
Go to Times Square, buddy.
Possession. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, right. Thanks for joining us, man.
All right, see you guys.
What a interesting. Here comes the award season. But that sounds good, The Favorite. Sounds interesting. All right, coming up, the Vernon Hills High School Choir. We got them for the hour. We're going to hear some music from them coming up right after the news.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Lots of Blues Brothers references in the Chicago Accent Challenge coming up on Sunday at Chicago Theater Works. I was writing all the questions for it. A lot of Blues Brothers. Do you consider yourself a Jake or an Elwood? That's the question. It's Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN.
Don't get too clever with those questions because
it's gonna be so clever.
People get nervous on stage, yeah. And if you make it too complicated, yeah. They won't.
There's a healthy mix of sussing out the accent and clever Blues Brother jokes. It's a healthy mix. Coming up, Howard Griffin's going to join us. We're going to talk about college football, not just about Northwestern, which we love, and that's going to be part of it. But there are other the NIUs in their conference.
They're
title
playing
game.
Tonight.
Notre Dame, of course, is a local team, so we'll talk.
They won't be playing this.
They
weekend.
Won't be playing this weekend,
but they'll be very anxious to see what happens
and
Sunday.
Yeah, and see how it all plays out, yeah. And where we might be able to see some of these,
rankings.
And find out where some of these teams might be heading when it comes to bowls. That's going to be announced this weekend, right?
So, Sunday, you get the final rankings of the football playoff committee, and then everything kind of falls into place. Yeah. And we know the top three. The question is the fourth. We know Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and who's number four is the question.
Not Ohio State, because they're going to get beat by Northwestern this weekend.
I like the way you're talking.
Howard and in the 9 o'clock hour. But all right, let's get to the choir. This annual tradition here on the Cochran Show, the Vernon Hills High School Choir returns. They are in our performance studio. We've figured out the bugs, led by director Jeremy Little. We're going to hear some music here. Here they are, the kids with Jingle Bell Rock. Take it away, guys.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring, snowing and blowing and bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chiming, jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square in the frosty air.
What a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is a swell time
to go gliding in a one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle all round the clock.
Mix and mingle in a jingling beat.
That's the jingle bell rock. Mix and mingle in a jingling beat. That's the jingle bell, that's the jingle bell, that's the jingle bell rock.
Wow, listen to that. If that's not the best use of our performance studio to date, wow, an amazing performance right there. Jingle Bell Rock, the Vernon Hills High School Choir, led by director Jeremy Little. They're with us till into the next hour, and it's exciting to have them back here on the Steve Cochran Show. Jeremy Little's jumped on the mic for us here. Jeremy, thanks for bringing them back, and what a performance. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us. We are delighted to be here.
So being from Vernon Hills and coming down here, do you stack the day with different performances? Is this just the first stop, or are you back in the train getting back to Vernon Hills?
No, our administration has been really supportive of us doing this, so we come down here. We're going to carol at the Bean in a little bit, and then we are going to go back. We have a few elementary schools and at our district office and at a few retirement homes later today. And then a big kind of show is on Sunday afternoon. We have two shows on Sunday afternoon, a big performance.
Awesome.
I hope hydration and nutrition are of top importance today with all those performances. You know, that's a lot of performing.
Yeah, you're right, it is. But these kids are awesome, and they we plan the whole first semester for it, and they're pretty awesome, pretty resilient to do that.
You know, Jeremy, that's a great point about planning, because you're going to have this, of course, the holiday season is so important for choirs, but then you also have a secondary season when it comes to competitions and shows that happen in the winter and the spring. And this is a year-round thing for choir directors to really prepare and organize their choirs for a year.
Yeah, so these guys, we do the caroling stuff in the fall, and then in the spring they become like a cappella groups, like Pitch Perfect, and we have a guys group and a gals group, and they direct and choreograph and rehearse their own stuff, and then we have another big show in the spring.
You know, when you have a successful choir program, a lot of that has to do with, of course, having great talented students that come through, but it's about the way that you approach the work. It's less about what's in the book, but it's more about rehearsal. Talk about how you approach choir.
Wow. We just try to make really great music together. Making music is a really human thing. People want to hear it, and people want to perform it. So we do our best to get beyond the notes. We learn them really well. But these guys, as you can hear, we try to communicate through our music, and we really enjoy doing it. We become better humans when we do it, and then we get to do it for your audiences and for a ton of audiences in our community, too.
Jeremy, I want to ask you, when you tell the kids, hey, we're going back to the Steve Cochran Show or WGN, are they like, huh, what's that? Or like, what's the perception of coming down to the station?
No, we're always really excited. The only thing that stinks is getting up so early.
Yeah.
But the traffic was great, you know. We're always really excited to come down here and to see the views and see you guys and to... And I think getting out of school is part of it, too.
Right. Well, does it help you? I would just think with the enormous success and popularity of movies like Pitch Perfect and the a cappella scene in general, does that help you with getting students more interested and confident in performing music and performing in choir?
I think a cappella, you guys really like it, and it's fun to do it, something different. We try to expose these students to all types of genres, so we have, you know, medieval and Renaissance stuff, and we have classical stuff, and we've got pop stuff. That was a jazz tune. We'll do another one here in a little bit. So we've got all sorts of stuff, and then the a cappella stuff is great as well. So a broad variety of music is what we try to study and sing.
All right, choir director Jeremy Little with the Vernon Hills High School Choir, who are in our performance studio. Sounded great. Tremendous performance there at Jingle Bell Rock. All right, so what are we going to hear next? Let's hear another song.
So
what
this
do you
is
got?
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, a beautiful jazz arrangement of it as well, and we're delighted to be here. So
all right,
thanks
Jeremy.
Us.
Have Yourself a Very Little, was it Very Little Christmas?
Merry Little Christmas.
Merry
yep.
Little Christmas. Got it there.
Have Yourself a Very Little one.
Have Yourself a Very Little
sadder
Christmas.
Version.
Here they are, the Vernon Hills High School Choir. Take it away, guys.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry, merry little Christmas.
Make thy Yuletide.
From now on, our troubles will be miles away.
Of your faithful friends who are dear.
Beautiful. That's one of my favorite songs, and performed just perfectly by the Vernon Hills High School Choir, led by Jeremy Little.
Wow.
That was great. And a great use of the performance theory. I love Bob Ferguson nailing it there. We've done so many different bands and musicians in the old space on Michigan Avenue, and now to have this this space and to be able to do this is just tremendous.
We used to have the choirs standing around us in the same space, right. And it would get so hot. Teenagers give off a lot of heat, and it would be so warm in the room.
Now it's just warm in there.
Yes.
We don't have to deal with that. The Vernon Hills High School Choir. All right, we're going to get some more music from them coming up here.
But equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Broadcasting high atop the mouth of the Chicago River, where this city was founded. At 303 East Wacker Drive, the 18th floor, looking out. Beautiful morning here, 30-some-odd degrees, but it's going to get warmer.
That promo bump-back thing that Joe just played, it references every home is going to have a console where you can listen to the radio, and now that's the new Alexa.
Yeah,
and
same
you
thing.
Can still listen to the same content that you could listen to on that.
The platforms have changed, but the content stays.
Still can
the same,
hear us. Right. You can also listen on your app on your phone. So yeah, that's in your home. That's in your car.
And it used to be just a hi-fi.
Right.
Yeah. Now you can walk around. This morning, I was
hi-fi.
Usually, I listen to the opening bell when I'm driving in, but today I wanted to listen to Molly and Pete Save Christmas because they have a new episode out. And so I put that on my phone, and I drove in and listened. And then as I walked over to Dunkin' Donuts to get my coffee, I still had Molly and Pete on. Then I came up to the office, still listening to Molly and Pete, because it's a 48-minute episode. Super Joe had to hear it while he was doing show prep, because that's what I was listening to.
But you changed from device to, or same device, but
same device. I had it on. Yeah, I had it on, and I was able to listen.
Well, of course, the place to listen right now is right here at 720 WGN, because our guests, the Vernon Hills High School Choir, led by Jeremy Little, are just blowing the roof off this place with a lovely and tremendous performance in our performance studio. They are back. We are ready for another song. Here they are with the song, The Little Road to Bethlehem. Take it away, guys.
Yeah.
Little Road to Bethlehem. The Vernon Hills High School Choir. Great job, you guys. I can see a couple of the kids out of the corner of my eye in the performance studio. That was tremendous. A tremendous, tremendous performance. The Vernon Hills High School Choir, led by Jeremy Little. Here's what we'll do. We got one more with them coming up in the hour. We're going to talk with Howard Griffith about college football coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But we will definitely get back to them for one more before they have to split to go carol at the Bean.
They have jam-packed schedule.
Yeah,
they're not. They're doing the Bean.
They got to get back. They got elementary schools, senior citizen homes. They got a lot to do.
You know, usually you save the best for last, but they went first best. What's up?
Yeah, they kept it high. There was no sort of like summit push up. They were just like, we start here and we stay here.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I don't know what the motto is. What you know, the wall you slap when you come into the choir room in Vernon Hills High School, but it should be that, right?
Trust yourself.
I'm a little nervous. My son-in-law's school's coming in next week at Antioch. Oh. I'm like, oh boy,
Antioch's got a tough act to follow.
Toughen it up.
All right, yeah, coming up. I gotta raise the bar.
Only Mary would tell. Hey, you better. Are you gonna blow in a call to him?
Are you gonna make an approach? Right yeah, you need to go up there. You need to go in there on Monday and be like, "Hey, we've got some serious work to do from the top."
I mean, that girl with the voice. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know music terms, but the high voice. Yeah.
Soprano.
It is the most gorgeous. Really like. It's like Mariah Carey's in there.
She can hold a note, too.
Yeah. All right, we'll get another song from them coming up in the next hour. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN Radio.
You know, you put all this work in from January through 8 o'clock Eastern on Saturday, and at 8:17 we kick it off, and you got 60 minutes to go be a champion. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better opportunity.
I think he's one of the best coaches in college football. I don't think he is. He's one of the best coaches in college football, and they're just great people that coach their tails off, and their players are a reflection of their staff.
WGN, Steve Cochran Show, Justin Coffin, and Steve will be back on Monday. Big weekend, Big Ten Championship in Indianapolis. Dave Ennett will be there. We were talking about he's got a big workload because he's doing the Northwestern basketball broadcast during the day against Indiana in Bloomington.
Well, they were kind enough to move the game. It was supposed to be at 5 o'clock Eastern, which would have butted it up against the football game, but then they moved it back to 1 o'clock Eastern.
So when you're doing two sports on one day, which one do you phone in? Which broadcast do you phone in?
I will give my all for both of those games.
That's what you do. You're a professional.
And Justin, you got to back that up. Because the football game is the Big Ten Championship, Dave has obligations this evening as well.
He's got
celebratory
be in
events that he has to attend.
He's complaining already about all the balls.
I have not complained once.
And I like thinking that
I'd like to have this burden every year.
Every year, right.
The NCAA basketball, whoever makes those decisions, they flexed it because Dave Ennett calls both games.
Right.
And they knew Dave Ennett could not be not so fans could go to both games, not to make it easier on the administration because of Dave Ennett calling both games.
Somehow I doubt that, Mayor, but thanks for the suggestion.
It has to be great, though. I mean, as someone who's so involved with Northwestern football, to be in a position here in December... Tomorrow will be December, to be relevant and to be in the conversation with the big championship games of the weekend, it's got to be tremendous.
Well, one of the coolest parts of it is that I got, when Northwestern clinched the West, I immediately got texts from my counterparts at Wisconsin, Ohio State, Penn State, and they've all been through it. And so they were all saying, glad you get the chance to go there. Yeah, it's really cool.
Howard Griffith's joining us now. He is with Big Ten Network, but for many in Chicago, we know him as a Super Bowl champion and a legend, a legendary.
Hey, guys, Justin,
eight touchdowns,
his
one
Twitter
game.
Profile says, Big Ten Network analyst, husband, father of two, two-time Super Bowl champ, and an Emmy winner.
You don't even put the Illini eight touchdowns in your Twitter bio?
No, I don't.
Howard, thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing good. So let's start with Northwestern, Ohio State. Tomorrow, of course, Indianapolis, the Big Ten Championship. This game, we talked to Coach Fitz earlier in the show and everything that's important for the football program here at Northwestern. But this game has so many implications when it comes to what's going to happen with the college playoff and the bowl picture.
Oh, absolutely. I think if you look at it from the Northwestern's perspective, this is an opportunity for them to get the purple, as Fitz likes to say, back to Pasadena. So they're still playing for a lot. They're just not showing up in a game and just expect to lose. They've got something on the line that they can win for. And obviously, Ohio State trying to get back into the playoffs. Most people would say that they need a dominant performance, which in many cases means they need to score a lot of points. And I'm not quite sure they're going to be able to do that versus this Northwestern defense.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Howard, because we hear a lot about style points. And I would think if you're Ohio State and you keep hearing everybody saying, and I know they did it against Wisconsin in that game, 59-0 or whatever it was a few years ago. But when you constantly hear people saying, well, you need style points. Yeah, you're going to have to run up the score. Doesn't that, in a way, put more pressure on Ohio State? Because now they're like, every possession, we got to score.
It's great that you brought that up. Because I equate it with having to take more risk, if that's the way you want to coach the game. And I don't think Urban will coach it that way. I think he has some outstanding coordinators. You look at the offensive side, I think Ryan Day is one of the bright stars that's coming through college football right now. You obviously see what he was able to do versus what many consider one of the best defensive coordinators in all of football at Michigan last week in Don Brown. So he's going to call the game, but I don't think he's going to put this team in a situation where they're pressing. Dwayne Haskins is not that type of a player. He plays within the confines of the game. I think that's why he's going to have an opportunity, if he likes, to move on next year to the National Football League, if that's one of the decisions he'd like to make.
Howard, let's make a transition. We talked a lot about the Big Ten Championship game and obviously what's going to happen, but a team near and dear to your family's heart is also looking good right now with a playoff determined already. They're going to be in Notre Dame. What a season for them. And a real bounce back season, because the last couple seasons you weren't sure where this program was going and they had quarterback troubles. But now you're in a position where the Notre Dame, the Irish are cemented into the playoffs and a real contender.
Yeah, and you know, I've been thinking about, you know, just the season that they've been going through, even, you know, from a player's perspective and also a parent, and then from a coaching staff as well. They're the one of the few teams, if not the only team in the country, that cannot afford to lose a game. Because their goal, their stated goal, is to win national championships. That's the only goal that they have, because they're not in a conference. So the immense pressure that is not only on the coaching staff but on the players to go out and play at a high level each and every week. I remember when I was playing for Denver and we were on a long undefeated streak, and the pressure was just immense for us. And we really got tired of answering those same questions each and every week. Can you run the table? Because that's how you're going to – that's an opportunity you have. But for us, we could lose a game and still get to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. For Notre Dame, they can't afford to lose a game, because then it becomes a one-loss Notre Dame is probably not going to make it, because they don't have a championship game.
And then they get down 10-0 against USC, but they didn't flinch. I mean, they'd already been through a tight game with Northwestern. Yeah. Everybody predicting doom and gloom against Syracuse at Yankee Stadium. We saw how that worked out for them. But as you look at the playoff picture now, this narrative seems to be Ohio State needs a win tomorrow over Northwestern, and they need help. Do you think they're going to get that help, even if they beat Northwestern?
It's going to be hard. I mean, obviously, Oklahoma is the team that most people are comparing them to, and they're trying to say, or they're trying to read into what the committee is saying, and Oklahoma seemingly gets a pass because they're in the Big 12, and they don't have to play great defense, so they can give up 40, 50 points and still be considered a great team because of what they're able to do on the offensive side. And then you look at Ohio State, obviously, last week, the great performance they had, but that's been inconsistent. I don't know that they're going to be able to get that help. They obviously need that help from Oklahoma. There's no telling what happens if you would hate to see, I guess, worst-case scenario, I don't think people want to see Georgia beat Alabama, because now you have two SEC teams that are ultimately going to be in the playoffs. So that's going to cause a lot of problems. So two SEC teams, and then all you have Notre Dame. There are going to be some conference commissioners and coaches that are going to be huddling up, I would believe, sometime Monday and trying to figure out how they can fix this, how you can expand, how you can get more teams into the playoffs.
Well, in talking about expansion and the committees and how these decisions are made, then we get the problem of too many games. These kids are playing too many games.
Yeah, you know, college kids,
they're
right.
College kids, and then we've got that. Since the college football playoff started, Howard, has there been times where you have not agreed with the who they've decided to go in?
You know, I think there are times you can debate it. Obviously, being here in the Big Ten footprint, you know, we've had a couple opportunities where, you know, the Big Ten champ didn't get in. And that's sometimes frustrating. But to me, the stated goal for me is get the four best teams into the playoffs. And it's obviously conference championships are important, but say one year it's not a strong conference. I just think it's the best thing to do is to get the best four. And there's always going to be some debate. I think one of the interesting challenges is I don't know if most people understand just how much work goes into being a part of the committee. It's a lot of work that goes into it, and we're putting all our trust into people on this committee, and I don't know that you're going to continue as the playoffs and the committees are set up as they are now, if you're going to continue to have the best committee. The best committee probably was the first one, and I think you're going to lose some people. They're going to continue to have quality people on the committee, but I think some people may say, that might be too much work. I don't want to get involved in this. And so I think from that perspective, you wonder if we're going to get the best teams in every year. And I think the other thing you see is the criteria is always going to be a moving target. We try to nail the committee down to, okay, this is what they're going to be looking for this year. And it moves each and every year because the teams are different, and they're looking at each team differently each week.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right, so let's go back to the Big Ten game in Indianapolis. What does Northwestern need to do to have a shot at beating Ohio State?
Well, Bowser has to be able to run the ball. And I think the offensive line has really done a tremendous job of building as the year has gone on. And his running game has really stepped up, even when Clayton has struggled sometimes throwing the football. I think Clayton has to have a big game as well, because obviously Ohio State, from my perspective, is going to want to take the running game away. So the wide receivers are going to have to find a way to get open. This is a talented backfield that they have as far as the defensive backs are concerned. But what they've had issues with, players in space. And what does Northwestern do? They put players in space. They motion people around. You look at the teams that have had success, teams that spread Ohio State out, get the balls into the playmakers' hands, then they make plays. And I think on the defensive side, you know, they have to be healthy. They've got to understand that they're going to see those crossing routes that Michigan saw last week. I don't think that they'll have as much success this week as far as the crossing routes are concerned, because Northwestern's going to play zone. They're going to make the adjustments that they need to make, and they're getting healthy on the back end, so I think that's important. Special teams is going to be huge. I think if they can get some success out of special teams, short fields, they have a chance to win the game. I don't think a lot of people believe that Northwestern is going to get blown out. I don't think so at all. This is too good a team that's coached really, really well, and their two coordinators don't get near the credit that they deserve for what Northwestern has been and is right now.
I love it.
Great point.
Howard Griffith, an analyst with Big Ten Network and Illini legend. We'll just even if it's not your Twitter bio, it's not your Twitter bio, I'm going to say it. Howard, pleasure. Thanks for joining us, sir. I appreciate it.
Okay. You guys enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the football this weekend as well.
See you in Indy.
Yeah, he's a tremendous legend. And I remember the only game I ever went to, a college football game before Northwestern, was an Illini game in high school. And it was against Wisconsin. It was up in at their place. Howard Griffin was on the field.
I remember doing a Northwestern-Illinois game, and Howard Griffin was running all over the Cats down in Champaign. Yeah. And we're referencing Notre Dame. His son, Houston, is a freshman for Notre Dame, in case anyone wasn't aware of
that. I should have made that more clear.
That's okay.
All right.
I like when they do that, the Howard and Houston. You know, I like when the family members.
The alliteration with the family. Mm-hmm. All right, the Vernon Hills High School Choir standing by for one final performance in our performance studio.
I got it. I'm patched in.
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Relax. Systems check out signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Coming up after the 9:30 news, Steve Grzanich is going to have our TGIF, play a couple of newsmakers from this week, call up, If you can correctly identify that newsmaker, you get a prize. We got a lot of prizes. Give away Chicago Accent Challenge tickets. That's coming up on Sunday. I've been working hard, Dave. I have come up with 30-plus questions to suss out the Chicago accent.
So it's not just...
It's about the Chicago accent.
Not the old standbys.
It's not the old standbys. Okay. Not just the welcome to Portillo's. There's a lot of stuff coming up Sunday night at the Chicago Theater.
How do you get to Moz?
Yeah, how do you get to Moz? It's in there, but we get a little bit more advanced.
Welcome to Bona Beef.
Right. Exactly.
More advanced.
Pronounce B-U-O-N-A. See what they say.
So do they win like a big trophy of the bean or something?
They win $333. That's a trophy. And an oversized novelty check.
Nice.
Which I have, so.
Which they will have to pay for.
They will have to pay for. Those are expensive. I was looking on Amazon yesterday, and I'm like, oh, that's a big one. They won $55 for it. And I'm like, wait a second. What am I doing? This is like a lesson, like an econ 101. Like, you're getting a novelty check worth nothing for $55.
Did you check Amazon Prime?
I should have. No, I think that was more. All right, so that's coming up after 9:30. We'll do the TGIF with Steve Grzanich. But before we get there, one more performance from the incredible Vernon Hills High School Choir, directed by Jeremy Little, who are in our performance studio. They've been performing all morning. Just a really wonderful. After this, they are going to the Bean to carol, and they have other performances, including a big one coming up next week or coming up on Sunday. Here is the final song in our performance studio. It is the B-side, if you will, the Pete Zimmerman track. We're choking around with him. This song is called Bring a Torch, Jeanette Isabella. Take it away, guys.
Bring a torch, Jeanette Isabella. Bring a torch, come hurry and run. It is Jesus, good folk of the village, Christ is born, and Mary's calling, beautiful is the mother, beautiful is the child.
Director Jeremy Little. Before I close the mics off, I realize we don't. There's so many kids from Vernon Hills that are in our performance studio. We can't go through each person and get their name. But maybe if I do a 1, 2, 3, and you all say your name.
Oh, there you go.
Would that work?
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that. You ready, you guys? These are the Vernon Hills High School Choir performers. 1, 2, 3.
The Super Joe.
We got it. There they are. Tremendous. That was Bring a Torch, Jeanette Isabella.
They're in their blue and white striped scarves.
They are.
And they also hold hands while they sing.
That's so cute.
Yeah, so I don't know what strategy that is. It's almost like a Red Rover kind of situation.
I thought it was like Who Village.
Oh,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's right.
I'm picturing someone. Pete's going to drive into that crowd and try to break through their hand.
Yeah, like a Red Rover. Well, I have to say, if you have time today, go down to the Bean right afterwards, see them do the caroling. It's a joy and kind of a gift for us to be in the room to see that, because they are just so good. and it was really fun to have them, the Vernon Hills High School's choir, the annual performance led by director Jeremy Little here in studio. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get the news. And then Steve Grzanich will have his TGIF 312-981-7200 for prizes. Stay with us.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Dropped your eyes beside me.
And what a week it's been. The news this week, overwhelming in some cases.
No shortage of
news. 312-981-7200. It's time for TGIF. We haven't done this in a couple weeks. But the goal of this segment, which is to really just review the week in news with Steve Grzanich, play a couple of clips, some newsmakers, you guess the newsmaker, and you get prizes. It's so simple. 312-981-7200. Steve Grzanich is now sitting with us in studio. Always my favorite part of the show.
Mentioning that he's sitting in here, because we don't sit next to each other, you're always in another room, you know, on a camera. You are a fidgeter. You are
fidgeting
nonstop.
I like to move my papers. I like my paperwork.
It's like nonstop activity next to me.
And he's also very cordial. You know, he's very cordial and formal, and I like that about Steve. He's here.
He's
and
a newsman. Yeah. I think that comes with the territory.
Yeah, he's dressed up. He's got a collared shirt on. Right. He's not messing around.
Justin's always very nice to me. He sang to me the other day on a video.
He did. Yeah, that is just wait. There's going to be some videos on WGNradio.com. We had to do some auditions for the December 14th WGN Holiday Extravaganza. Right. I know it has a formal name, though I do not know what it's called this year.
Yeah, it's a Wonderful Life parody, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, so when we always broadcast
it. He'll know.
We broadcast it every year, and so we did auditions. And Justin and Steve Grzanich were paired up, and they did some...
We may have found something.
Yeah.
The chemistry was undeniable.
Mm-hmm. I think you did a better job than I did, so I'm ready to be cut.
There's a part where Justin kind of offends you, and you play offended very well.
Yeah.
It works on camera.
Nice. Can't wait.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be the most clicked.
Oh, good. The most clicked. All right, that should be a new segment. The most clicked. All right, so the way we do this is, you know, of course, there's a lot of news, but I always like to figure out from the newsman what he thinks is the biggest story of the week and what might be the most underreported story. Why don't we start, Steve, with the biggest story? What do you consider the biggest story of this week?
By far, it was the winter storm. I had more people interacting with me about they're not having power or taking quite a long time for the power to get back on. 350,000 people lost power, some of them for 24 hours or more. And then, of course, the snow, 13 inches of snow in November, which is kind of a rarity.
And what a week for weather. We're kind of talking about in the top six at six that you go from a blizzard that you could still see remnants of. I know it's melting off now, but when you see, we talked about this on the show, the road signs and the lights are covered up, and that shows you a different kind of snow that Chicago and the area is not used to, that driving, really strong-winded snow that has left a mark.
Yeah, and the north blowing snow onto the buildings now causing the ice to fall. Even at my condo building, we had ice falling on the side of the building, and I live in the city like you do. That was, and then I looked up at the top of the building, and the whole north side of the building had been iced up and pelted with snow, and that's what was falling.
Even the actual week itself, last Friday, I bought my Christmas tree in 48 degree weather with like just a fleece on. On Saturday, it rained all day. On Sunday, all of a sudden, we were in a blizzard watch, you know, and then here we are on the other side of it. And then tomorrow it's going to be warm and raining.
Yeah. With thunderstorms.
Yeah.
Which it kind of should be at the beginning of December.
Sure.
Rainy and 40s.
Mm.
I don't like this. I had a friend visiting from L.A. and he's like, oh, Chicago, so I don't miss this. And I'm like, no, this isn't too early. I'm mad at the city that it's this early. It shouldn't be this early. We're a mid-December dusting. Maybe a little white Christmas, and then in January, this kind of snowstorm happens.
I'm one of those people that when wintertime gets here, I would rather it be snowing and cold than raining and even sunny in December.
I don't like it.
If it's going to be cold, it might as well be snowing.
Yeah. What do you see as the most underreported? What story did we miss, or did the media just not care about?
It has also to do with weather. The UN reported that global carbon dioxide levels shot up again last year, almost like 3.5%. So while everybody's talking about climate change, whether it's happening, the actual measurement of carbon dioxide going into the air is going up.
How is that possible? I mean, all the countries, even with the way that the United States has held the Paris Agreement in disregard, I thought the concept in the last 5 years is that we were removing or trying to limit carbon dioxide specifically in our air.
You know, one of the only things I can think about is there were more people using energy, perhaps. More oil was cheaper, so maybe more oil was being burned. I don't know. I mean, and then who knows? Maybe the relaxing of regulations in this country had something to do with it as well, because we've seen those happening.
My stepson, Patrick, is working on, they're talking about this in their science, and he, Lego, is trying to come up with a new material to make Lego so that they don't have to use oil to make plastic. Mm. So maybe they're working on that now for you. So
there are so many cool things. We had on the opening bell probably about 6 months ago. Researchers at Purdue and some other universities are using a milk-based product to make packaging that you can that dissolves after it's used and perhaps even could be eaten. Because it's one of the, I wouldn't need it, but it looks, I mean, they did in the experiment that they did, something you throw in the trash can, and then it goes to the dump, and it's gone in 6 months.
Wow.
All right, let's do TGIF. Before we take our break, let's get one call in and start this off. Steve has collected a couple of newsmakers, some clips for us, and it's your job to guess the newsmakers. And on the line with us to start is Tom. Tom from Hickory Hills. Tom, thanks for playing TGIF.
Thank you.
You listen to WGN every week?
Yes, as much as I can.
Okay. So you feel like you're familiar with the newscast, because that's really where this stuff comes from.
Yeah.
All right. Good. And are you an avid news consumer? Are you a guy that you constantly have to be looking at news every day?
No, I try, a few different stations to get, different views and perspectives.
Okay. All right. I like that. Hey, who doesn't like different news and perspectives?
That's
right?
What we all do, right?
That's right. Yeah. All right. So, Super Joe, you want to play the first clip? Tom, you ready?
Okay.
All right. Who is this?
We suffer from demographic changes. Populations erode in neighborhoods that were once there where the school was vibrant before. And so we have to make some hard choices. We have to be real about it.
Mm. Oh, it's the Cardinal from Chicago.
Oh.
Yes.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Is it really?
Yeah, great work.
I thought it was Dan Lipinski.
I know. I was like, for a second, I'm like, is that Paul Vallis? Good job, Tom. Yeah. Strong. And you know what? To start it, we have one more pair of tickets to Blackhawks to give away. So I'm going to give you those tickets. Does that sound good, Tom?
Yeah, it's good. Thanks.
There you go. So Tom gets the Blackhawks tickets, the last pair of tickets we've got for the games coming up here. Do you have to read something about that?
I am. Yeah. I'm going to say great seats are available at ChicagoBlackhawks.com, and you should also visit the Hockey House here on Michigan Avenue. It's a pop-up store with the Winter Classic jerseys. It's all decked out in black and white, and it's the coolest place to see.
There you go. The Blackhawks tickets.
And the Cardinal's name, by the way, is Blaze Supich.
Right. Cardinal Blaze and he Supich. Got it in right. there. We just jumped on top of him. But that was because of the closing of the schools and parishes in Bridgeport. So great job, Tom from Hickory Hills. All right, we'll continue.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN, we're doing TGIF. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you feel like you know the news, you can get some prizes. Steve Grzanich is here, and he has put together a couple of newsmakers. We're going to get to that. We gave away our last pair of Blackhawks tickets. But I got tickets to the Chicago Accent Challenge coming up, which is Sunday night, Chicago Podcast Festival. At Chicago Theater Works on Belmont in the Lakeview neighborhood, Belmont and Racine area. It's going to be fun. We got eight contestants who WGN listeners who have won on the Chicago Accent Challenge competing in a single elimination tournament with special judges judging them for $333.
Up dare, over by dare.
Well, up dare, over by dare. And like I said, it's a combination. So it's, Ted McClellan, who's been a part of the Chicago Accent Challenge since the beginning. He's a linguist. He wrote the book, How to Speak Midwestern. He'll try to suss out the phonetics, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Then I've got Alderman Spisato, Nick Spisato from the 38th Ward, who is widely considered to be the best Chicago accent in City Hall.
Yeah, I actually suggested that he be the announcer for that
event
because he is the quintessential Chicago accent.
And he will be on. And then two great comedians, Katie Rich, who is the writer on SNL for Weekend Update. And then also Scott Goldstein, who is just Scott Goldstein. And you hear that name, you're like, I know Scott. Two Chicago comedians who also will be delivering some of the more clever stuff. Are you guys ready? I want to throw some at you,
yes,
okay?
Do it.
Here's what I was working on last night. Tell me if you like this. I'll give you easy stuff and hard stuff, okay? Let's see. Let's go with the first one.
I wonder what a hard Chicago challenge question is.
Good. All right. Give me the last name. I'll stay away from the phonetic stuff. I'll just give you the clever stuff I was working on. Give me the last name of the Chicago royal family. Ready, Steve?
Got it.
Bill,
John, Joel,
Daly,
Brian Doyle. No, those are the names.
Doyle Bill, is the first.
John, Brian, Joel, Brian Doyle.
That's the first and middle name.
Yeah,
Brian Doyle Daly.
No, well, not even close. No.
I got.
What about me?
What do you got? It?
Murray.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
You would be out already. I'd be kicking you out.
Do they have a sibling named really Doyle Murray?
No, Brian Doyle.
That's so funny because I thought you were throwing Joel Daly in there.
Yeah, see? That's the joke. Yeah. The joke is Bill, John, and Joel make you go Daly, and then Brian Doyle makes it pretty obvious it's Brian Doyle Murray.
And as you're reading those off, you get really confident that you know it's the Daly's, and you don't even listen to the last part of it.
So then, if you respond... But you respond with your Chicago accent, but you have the answer incorrect. Are you docked?
No, but that's the beauty of it, is you can interpret it however you want. The audience chooses. So the audience at home is the one. I do the Stroke Time at the Apollo style, where I'll be like, do you like Mary or do you like Steve?
Okay.
And they'll give, yay, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
What is the, this was a good one.
Do you have an applause meter?
Yeah, that would work. In my head. Yeah. Here's a real hard one. You ready for this one?
Got it.
What is the plot of the 1988 movie Running Scared?
You see, you got this guy, all right?
Nobody knows that one? All right. Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines as undercover Chicago police officers who are trying to bust a cocaine kingpin, Jimmy Smits. You guys are crazy.
I'm waiting for Steve.
Oh, he's wearing a Cubs jersey, right?
Yeah.
Steve Bertrand, I thought. Is he going to weigh in here?
He would know. Bertrand would know.
I missed it. What was it, Justin?
What's the plot of the 1988 movie Running Scared?
Oh. Just blowing up the State of Illinois Center.
Yeah, that would be enough.
He knew.
See, with Uzis. That's
Jeez, couldn't you have gone with Ferris Bueller or something?
No, it's too easy.
No. I told him, he's got to watch out.
People are going to be freaking out.
Exactly, Mary. There are going to be nervous on stage, and then Justin's going to come at them with too clever of questions, and they're just going to look blank-faced.
No.
Yeah, instead of answering and talking in their accent.
Trust me, I set this up at the beginning that the phonetics will be taken care of. Ted will have the questions about say this word, say that kind of stuff. So you get all that. I was just giving you a taste of the more advanced, clever Chicago questions that are going to be asked.
Plus, you give them a couple of rips of the Malort, and we're all good.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
There you go. All right. 312-981-7200. I've got a lot of stuff on the prize sheet. We can throw people a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. We can give them pizza. We can do the Golf Center displays, Wizard of Oz at Paramount Theater. 312-981-7200. The phone number as we get ready to wrap up here. What do you got, Mary?
Oh, it's funny. We get these prize sheets every day, and I love how it's a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, and then we have an apt gift card. And I happen to know the Lou Malnati
is a card.
It's a gift card. It is not a gift certificate. So I wonder
why
the decision was made to call it a gift certificate when we actually give away gift cards. I know the value is the same. You're still getting $25 and you get pizza. But
you're right. Is one person who's writing it is a certificate person and the other person is a card person?
A gift card person, yeah.
I can't think of two more Chicago-centric gifts than Malnati's
and the
ABT apt card.
You get them both, right?
There you go.
All right, let's go to the lines. Let's get some. Let's go to Pat. Pat's line four. Pat, where are you from, Pat?
Darien.
Hey, Pat.
Yeah.
Okay. Darien, you pay attention, or Pat, you pay attention to the news?
I do.
All right. Let's go ahead and do a clip and see if you can name this person.
We do plan to open schools as normal. We're making special preparations to ensure that our schools are safe.
Who's that?
This is the tough
one. Who is that? One more time?
Yeah, let's do it. Can we do it one more time?
We do plan to open schools as normal. We're making special preparations to ensure that our schools are safe.
I'm going to say that's the education person for Chicago.
Yeah, that's close enough, right?
Close enough, sure.
What do you think, Joe?
I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
There you go. That's CPS CEO Janice Jackson.
Oh, I was going to guess Tony Preckwinkle.
Right. There you go. So, Pat, you stay on the line. They're going to get you something. Sound good? All right, there we go. You know what? We may have stumbled and bumbled around too much for this because there's still more clips, but we're out of time.
Yeah, and they were kind of hard this week. I think.
But I like it. I like keep them hard. Yeah, we don't want to dumb it down. We want to water it down. We want people to come up to the level of obscure newsmakers.
And right? incentivize people to listen to the news as well. So tune in
there you go.
All next week, and you may win some prizes
there
next Friday.
There you go. We love it. All right. Coming up, get the stories that matter from Steve Bertrand in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, Bill and Wendy up next here on 720 WGN. We're back on Monday. Steve Cochran will be back in the host chair. Dave Ennett, have a tremendous weekend with all the festivities tonight you've been bragging about. And, of course, the call tomorrow. The double. He's got a double header. He's got to do the Northwestern basketball and then drive back to Indianapolis to do the Big
How
Ten
How do you
championship.
Do it? You need to clone yourself.
Well, first of all, I when you say I got to do it, I want to do this.
Oh, okay.
I'm excited for the opportunity.
Okay.
Yeah. Really?
I am. We know that, but how do you do it?
It's 40 minutes apart. It's yeah. not that... Yeah. It's not quite like last weekend where I was going back and forth to L.A.
Yeah, he had to go this back and forth easier. To L.A.
But there's a lot of wear and tear on your throat, on your brain, because there's different. There's probably going to be different brain. Players in the two games.
There are?
Oh, yeah, they'll put in different guys.
They
yeah.
do. They play different guys in basketball and
yep,
football.
Different rules.
And there's more of them in football, too. Right. They're bigger. Well, they're...
All this is true.
All of this is true.
How will
true.
You keep all this track of all this?
He's amazing that way.
The thing I really worry about is getting hit in the side of the head with a basketball.
Yes.
An errant pass.
Yes.
I'm worried that we'll be watching the game and listening to your broadcast to Nike in a football game, and you'll be like, pulling up for a three-pointer.
Yeah.
He's in a row.
Although they have three-pointers in both football and basketball.
Yes, they do.
So that's the,
is that,
that
a
one.
Safety?
Yeah. Well, no, safety's 2 points.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, field goal would be
But there's a two-pointer in basketball,
yes,
too.
There is.
So it's
so,
really...
Okay, so we're making this worse
now
for you.
You've really
I'm
messed
sorry,
me up
Dave.
Here, Bill.
Didn't mean to do that.
Bill and Wendy up next. What do you guys got on the show today?
Comedian Mark Norman. We've had Mark on before. He's very, very funny.
He is awesome. So funny.
Yeah.
I love it.
Dangerously
yeah.
funny.
Oh, I love when you have the dangerously
yeah.
funny on.
Yeah. It doesn't have any
so
limits.
It's good. So it's good. All right. Well, have a great weekend.
Thank you, Justin. You too.